You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with our MLB.com Braves reporter Mark Bowman. And Mark, tough start to the season for the Braves. They played real well for most of their opener against the Washington Nationals, but they lose the lead in the ninth and then end up losing the game in the 10th inning. But I think there were some positives to pull out of that game overall. What were kind of your first impressions of seeing this team in a regular season game?
You know, I think you got to start with what you saw from Julio Teheran, because we were encouraged by what we saw during spring training from him. And then he carries that into yesterday's start. He, you know, for the most part, he handled their left-handed hitters, unfortunately. For him, the two hits, the surrender to left-handed hitters were home runs, Bryce Harper and Daniel Murphy. You know, but you know, he totaled 30 pitches in the first inning. His pitch count's up there near 60 through three, and you think, you know, how long is he going to be able to last? He gets through six innings, and you know, the Braves offense did its part with its two solo homers against Max Scherzer, and you're sitting there saying, you know, this team's in position to win. You go bullpen against bullpen, and they, just there at the end, they far too many defensive mistakes. You know, it kind of started with first of all, the four pitch walk to Jason Worth, Jason Grilly. You know, it's easy to say he experienced some misfortune that inning, but at the same time, you make your own bed when you do that. Next, you've got a defensive shift where the whole right side of the infield is wide open. Wilson Ramos sends a single through there. You know, that was something where I heard some of the players talking after the game. Is, you know, you're going to hear that in the clubhouse when the shift works. You know, hey, look, we had our guys in the right place. When it doesn't work, why are we doing this? And then you've got the Espinoza bunt on a two strike bunt, which basically backspins, it falls dead in no man's land. And then obviously they still had a chance win, even though the Nationals blurred the bases there in the ninth inning. You get the fly ball off of Taylor's bat, and enters Enciarte, makes a pretty good throw. It short hops AJ Pierzynski in front of the plate, and he's not able to hold on to it to make the tag, which would have been quite a thrilling way to end an opening day. And then obviously in the ninth inning, Gordon Beckham committed a throwing error that allowed the Nationals to score the winning run. So yeah, it was somewhat of a talked to Freddie Freeman after the game, and he kept saying this: "Boy, we played so great all day today. It's just a, you know, I don't want to call it a downer, but it's kind of frustrating because there are 161 games left, but that was one, and that one game is not any more important than any other. But you hate to give any away, and I think the Braves walked away from that saying, hey, look, we had a chance to win that, a real good chance to win it, and we handed the Nationals a victory.
Yeah, and it's that vibe to kick off the season as well, I think. You know, if you win that opener, it puts everybody in a good place to open things up. All right, well, this team and Freddie had some tough decisions to make at the end of spring training as far as the roster goes. And in the end of the day, they end up releasing Michael Bourne and Emilio Bonifacio after they had let Swisher go the week before. That made room for Drew Stubbs and, of course, Francoeur staying on the roster. But it seemed like the release of Michael Bourne really struck Freddy Gonzalez as one of the tougher things he's had to do.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's exactly what he said. He said it may have been the hardest thing he's ever done. You know, there's no doubt that Freddy Gonzalez loved Michael Bourne. He had him there in 2011 and 12. He credits Michael Bourne with fostering Jason Hayward's growth. You know, he's just a class individual, one of those guys you'd love to have in your clubhouse. At the end of the day, he just didn't fit on this roster. And I was thinking, you're looking at that going into spring training, and you're saying, when's he going to get a chance to play, especially if they get to a point where they want to give Hector Oliveira, if he's an everyday player in left field. You've already got a left-handed hitting center fielder in Ender Inciarte, so if you're sitting him, it doesn't make any sense to play Michael Bourne. There weren't going to be many pinch hit opportunities for Bourne. You know, and he's reached a point in his career. It's obviously a lot of his value came in via his legs, and once you get reach those early 30s, sometimes that value continues to disappear. And so, yes, it was hard for them to say goodbye to him, but it made perfect sense, you know, from roster construction standpoint. And you've got to give the Braves credit to where, you know, when they made that deal last year, the bad contract swap, you send Chris Johnson to the Indians for Michael Bourne and Nick Swisher. And now all of a sudden you're taking on $29 million for this season while getting rid of the $10 million basically that Johnson would have been paid in 2017. The Indians wanted to free up payroll in 2016. The Braves wanted to free up payroll in 2017. That's all. That was the basis of that deal. And the reason the Braves got $15 million in that deal was they knew there was a pretty good chance that Nick Swisher was, you know, wouldn't spend much time with them. So, you know, at the end of the day, that contract was essentially wiped out by that $15 million they got. But still, you got to give the Braves credit to where that they did not allow financial commitments stand in the way of constructing the roster in the strongest form possible. And in doing so, they went out and got a, you know, found Drew Stubbs late last week, gave him a 2-day audition to put him on the roster. He didn't have to do much to audition. He basically had to prove he was healthy. I think that's about it, because they were looking for a right-handed bat, a guy who can spell Enciarte in center field on those days when the Braves are facing a tough left-handed pitcher, or Enciarte just needs a breather. So, you know, unfortunately for Michael Bourne, it didn't work out here. You hope that he lands somewhere here quick, because, I get it that he may not provide that same value that he did on the field, but at the same time, he can enrich a clubhouse and for some teams that need a left-handed bat or left-handed backup and outfielder, he's not going to hurt you.
When you look at the roster and those final decisions, there's the tough ones like Michael Bourne, and then there's the moves that kind of make you smile and make you feel good for a guy, a feel-good story. And how about number 22 prospect John Gant making this opening day roster, and just a great effort by him throughout the spring to put himself in that position?
Yeah, it really was. You know, here's a guy we're seeing the first time. You know who John Gant was, you know, because he was involved in the July trades. I think most Braves fans were very familiar with him. He was acquired in the July trade that sent Kelly Johnson and Juan Uribe to the Mets. At the time, there were some members of the Mets organization who weren't real familiar with him because he was, you know, a mid-level prospect, probably at best in their eyes. He went to Double-A Mississippi, finished the season really strong last year, 1.99 ERA over 7 starts. Comes to camp, the first thing that stands out whenever anybody sees John Gant is this funky delivery where he basically, you know, he pumps that left foot, you know, on the ground during the delivery, lifts it again, and then completes the delivery. It's a weird, it's something you haven't seen too frequently, and at the same time, more importantly, you haven't seen a changeup like his all that often. And I think that is one thing the Braves say, hey, look, this guy can work multiple innings, be a long reliever, or be effective against left-handers. They will have to make a choice next week when they bring Julius Chacin up to join the rotation. They will have to get rid of one of the relievers, and it will probably be either Gant or Jose Ramirez, who is out of options. So, you know, if that time comes and Gant goes back down to the minors, the intention will be, hey, look, let's allow him to start there for Gwinnett, be available to serve as a starter if necessary at some point this year. But at the same time, you know, I heard one scout compare him to John Patterson, former Rangers reliever. He bounced around, but I think that's a lot of people remember him with the Rangers. But a guy who he's got that trick pitch and funky delivery that he could be effective as a reliever for many years down the road if it doesn't work out as a starter.
All right, Mark, I wanted to get your three keys to success for this Braves team in 2016. And I know number one in your eyes, Freddie Freeman, just needs to stay on the field for this team.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying. We saw it yesterday right away. Here's a guy who can provide instant offense. He's one of the few power sources within that lineup. It has been encouraging to see Adonis Garcia provide some surprising power. But you know, without Freddie Freeman in the middle of that lineup, this team's going to struggle to score runs. He can maximize the benefit of having a Enciarte and Ibar at the top of the lineup. And it, like I said, to have Garcia continue to show a little bit of power here, look, it's one game, but let's say he extends what he continues to do what he did late last season. That's going to be nice having him right there in the middle of Freddie Freeman and Nick Markakis. They need Markakis to get going here. He had a tough spring, and they need to hope that he gets back to at least having the consistency that he had last year. He's made some changes here to his swing and using a different bat, so he's in the process of getting comfortable again. But without Freddie Freeman, that lineup's going to struggle just like it did for those final three or four months last year when he was dealing with the wrist issue.
And then when you look at this rotation, you saw what Julio Teheran can do. He was good in the opener. Obviously, that needs to continue along with Matt Whistler, right? Both of those guys need to keep developing.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, as last year was going on, I kept looking at it saying, you got to get rid of Julio Teheran. You know, while he still has some value, I don't know if that value is coming back, you know, to where it was maybe, especially when he was a top prospect. But you know what? I've seen enough from Teheran this year, spring training and then yesterday to battle like he did to stay in that game and limit the Nationals to the two solo homers over six innings. I've seen enough to say, hey, look, this guy could be a solid number three in many rotations. For now, he's got to be serve as Atlanta's ace, and he'll serve as a anchor in that rotation. And what we've seen from Matt Whistler is the hope if he continues. He's only 19 starts into his career. If he continues to make the progress that we saw in spring training, he's far from a finished product. But if he continues to make those strides, then all of a sudden now you've got two guys in that rotation that could be solid number twos or threes moving forward. And then all of a sudden you start waiting for Aaron Blair, who's probably still along those lines of number three, number four type of guy. They start coming, Tyrell Jenkins. You're waiting for Sean Newcomb to start throwing more strikes, and then when he gets up there, then maybe he can evolve into that ace-type pitcher that he has the potential to be. Some of their top guys down there, you know, Tuki Toussaint, Colby Allard even further away, Max Fried, let's see how he fares coming off of Tommy John surgery here. As they progress this year, I think Braves fans are going to start to see why they are considered, those three in particular, elite prospects, guys that can maybe make that jump to be the, you know, be a number one or number two in the rotation.
And then finally, key number three is if the rotation isn't going to be exactly a strength, at least early on or first half of the season, the bullpen needs to be a strength.
No doubt about it. You know, that last year, that was a problem throughout the season. They got consistency out of Jason Grilley and Jim Johnson there through the first few months. They were two of the two reliable keys in that bullpen through the first half. They helped that their primary reason that team started off 42-42 last year, and then all of a sudden Jason Grilley gets hurt, Jim Johnson gets traded, and the bullpen was a disaster, for lack of a better word, for the last 2 months of the season. They have some depth in that pen now. You got to like what you've seen out of Daniel Winkler. He had a good season debut on Monday. And Alexi Gonda, there's some depth there. And if they can continue to be able to either protect leads or keep games close there in the middle innings, I think that Aroldis Vizcaino has shown that he can be a reliable force at the back end of that bullpen. And Freddie has made it clear that this guy, you know, is his guy, so it's kind of he has bought into this new school bullpen approach where this is what the fans and sabermeticians have been asking for. If you use your guy in a high leverage situation, and that's what he did on Monday, is yes, this guy, you know, is his closer, but because Bryce Harper, Ryan Zimmerman, and Anthony Rendon were coming up there in the eighth inning, this guy, you know, got the eighth inning. Got through it in a scoreless fashion. Unfortunately, then they needed three more outs, and Jason really was not able to get those three outs. But at the same time, you know, let's take somebody who's looking at the old school thinking or the traditional closer's approach. Would you have rather had this guy, you know, face Rendon, Harper and Zimmerman or Grilly there in the eighth, and had Grilly faced those guys, would there have been a lead to protect there for Vizcaino in the ninth inning? So I like what Freddie's, you know, his willingness to accept this approach. We'll see how it works moving forward. But it was he certainly did the right thing on Monday. Unfortunately, the results were not what he had wished for.
Yeah, you gotta get help from the rest of the roster at some point when making those decisions. All right, great stuff as always, Mark Bowman. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Braves edition. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.